This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Source of Evil.
You can't hardly turn on the TV these days or go on media and not begin to realize that something is happening in our world. There just seems to be such a prevalence of an evil spirit. We live in a time when it just seems to be more prevalent than ever. But here's the truth. Evil has been with humanity since the dawn of time. As the Ecclesiastes says, there's really nothing new under the sun. The monarchies of England and France, Spain and Russia, the Caesars of Rome, the emperors of China and Japan ruled with an iron fist, and many perpetrated unspeakable atrocities on their subjects. The revolutions that overthrew those rulers were equally vicious and blood-drenched. Take, for example, the French Revolution. It gave birth to that infamous death machine called the guillotine, which indiscriminately beheaded thousands of French men, women, and children until the streets of Paris became flooded with the blood of its victims. The lust for blood could not be satisfied until the very founders of the revolution found themselves beheaded. What does evil look like? Everybody has a different picture of what evil looks like. Let me paint a few pictures that come from the newspapers today over the last couple of weeks. For some people, evil is personified in the partisan individual who took shots at Republican representatives at a baseball practice, seriously wounding the minority leader. For some, they see that relatively wealthy, seemingly ordinary individual who took a hotel room in Las Vegas, blew out the windows, and started taking shots at people innocently watching a country western program, shooting down 80 people. For some, it's the Muslim radical who drove a rented truck into a bike at jogging path in lower Manhattan. His aim was to kill as many children. He knew it was Halloween. Let me try to kill as many kids as I possibly can, and as many adults as I can too. And he ended his journey by smashing into a bus load of school children. Or how about the Hollywood producers, the actors and actresses, radio and TV personalities that have flooded our eyes in newspaper articles and on all kinds of media, who have abused the privilege, fame, and power that they have to sexually molest and denigrate unwilling victims of their perverted lusts. All of these things come to us. They're evil. They all take their own particular shape and manifest themselves in a variety of ways. This morning, I'd like to talk to you and share with you what is the true source behind all of this evil. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. Let's stand together as we read God's word up here on PowerPoint. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 16, as we look into the face of absolute evil. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Thank you. You may be seated. There are many ways people view war, crime, cruelty, class struggles, discrimination, slavery, ethnic cleansing, suicide bombings, and injustice. We have a whole idea of what's causing all of that. For some, like the followers of the Christian Scientist founder, Mary Becca Eddy, here's what they believe. They believe evil is but an illusion and it has no real basis. Evil is a false belief. Are you kidding me? Some people actually hold that idea as a serious philosophy, a serious faith, a serious belief. For some who are followers of New Age philosophies, here's what they believe. They believe people create their own realities. If good or bad occurs, it's just because people chose them. For people who believe in reincarnation, they believe a person's karma, and karma is the debt a soul accumulates because of one's good or bad actions. They believe that that karma dictates what evil befalls that person. For some, the existence of evil proves God is powerless, that his powers are limited because he can't do anything to stop evil. And for atheists, they believe that the presence of evil proves that there is no God. All of these are in the gridwork of what people think when they think about evil. Our text tells us that evil has a source, and that the fact is that that source eludes and frustrates so many thinking people. They just can't get their arms around the fact that there is an evil entity and his name is the devil. Can't get it. Evil is not a what. It's a who. The devil. If you believe life has a dark side, if you believe wickedness can be found on every level from the street to the halls of government, then the Bible informs you that its father and its author is the devil. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can really believe that. I don't know that I even believe that there is such a thing as a devil, or that the devil is real, or is anything more than just the evil force of the world. Well, you're not alone. Listen to a Gallup survey about the issue of the devil. 34% polls say the devil is a personal being who directs evil forces and influences people to do wrong. 34% of Americans say they believe in the devil that way. 36% polls say they believe the devil is nothing more than an impersonal force that influences people to do wrong. 20% don't believe the devil exists and in any fashion. And 8% say they just don't know. On page 25 of 100 Questions and Answers About Religion in America, George Gallup Jr. and Sarah Jones wrote this, quote, among denominations, Southern Baptists and Baptists are most likely to say the devil is a personal being, that he's real. Catholics prone to say it's an impersonal force. Lutherans and Methodists are most inclined to say the devil does not exist. I find that shocking. In war, it's always important to know your enemy. A little girl was once disciplined by her mother for kicking her little brother in the shins and then pulling his hair. Sally, said the mother, why did you let the devil make you kick your brother and pull his hair? The devil made me kick him, she said, but pulling his hair was my idea. Jesus refers to the devil on several occasions in Scripture in which he confronts him and gives him a number of names and titles. In the Bible, remember, names have significance. They tell us something about the person and character and nature of the person who's being named. To structure this morning's lesson, I've listed 10 names and titles about Satan. And as we scroll through them, I think that we'll begin to reveal certain things about him that you'll need to know. Number one, Ezekiel 28:14 calls Satan the anointed cherub. Now, cherubs were very, very special angels. I'd like to call them super angels. They were different from all the other ones. Here's how. Genesis 3:24 says, these were the angels that guarded the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were thrown out, standing over there with a sword, making sure that nobody could get back in. Hebrews 9:5 says, and you can see it up here, they guarded the mercy seat of God. That's where the Ark of the Covenant in the Jewish temple. You see them up there? You'll notice something. Exodus 25:20 says that they're the only angels who have wings. Now, most everybody thought that angels have wings. You were not biblically correct. That was something somebody made up. The only angels with wings are the cherub. That's it. Ezekiel 10:14 describes them as shapeshifters. Here's something for the science fiction fans. They're able to change their appearance. Listen to the words of Ezekiel 10:14. Quote, "And everyone," that's the cherubs, "had four faces. The first was the face of a cherub," that angel. "The second was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle." End quote. They could be any one of those things and use any one of those disguises or representations to affect the lives of people. Who was that great spirit of the eagle? Who was that great spirit of the tree? Number two, Genesis 3, 1 and 2. Satan becomes the serpent in the garden who deceives Eve. Guess what? He's still deceiving people. He's still deceiving the world. He divides the world between atheism and superstition. So many people think that God is in the mountain, or God is in the tree, or that a child must be sacrificed to God, or that if bad things happen in your tribe, it's because the gods are angry at you. So many people, to satisfy the gods, throw their spouse into a river to drown. Those kinds of superstitions. His primary deception is convincing people he doesn't exist. And his second deception is to create false gods and false religions. Number three, John 10:12 says Satan became a wolf, trying to feed God's people by their petty squabbles, by jealousy, by materialism, by indifferences, by apathy, by hypocrisy. You want to let a church fall apart? You want to let a church break up? Allow Satan to begin his business of gossip. Allow him to begin to tear us apart based on our differences. Allow him to get a foothold, put his nose under the tent, so to speak, and start focusing in about certain people in the church you just don't like, and let that become so big that you just want to do something about it. Most times, you let your feet do the walking and your feet do the talking. Number four, 1 Peter 5:8, Satan becomes a lion trying to devour God's children through temptation, desire to like the world, to fit in, to adopt the cultural norms, to compromise on God's truth, and to play at being a Christian. What is it about some of us? What is it about many of us that we do this as a Sunday thing? As long as we get in and take our time card, I know you don't do this anymore, and punch it in on the clock and put it back in the rack, everything is fine. As long as you're here on that Sunday and post your time, that's what it's supposed to be. That's not all it's about. We're not supposed to forsake this, but this is not all there is to it. This is not all there is to your faith walk. You represent, and I represent, Jesus Christ wherever we are. We're supposed to be able to shine for him. We're supposed to be able to do those things that make people say about us, that's what a Christian is all about. You represent, you're his ambassador wherever it is that you go. And so many of us are playing at being Christians. It's more than a Sunday thing. It's more than an event. It's a lifetime. Number five, Revelation 12, 1-9 says, Satan becomes a dragon trying to destroy God's son. He can't do that because Satan is already been defeated at the cross of Jesus Christ. He's a dead man walking, but he won't lay down. He still poisons and still kills, even though he's destined and doomed for death in a fiery pit. Even though he's dead already, his venom is still very powerful even after his death. According to research out of the Good Samaritan Regional Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona, listen to this. Rattlesnakes, thought to be dead, can still strike, bite, and kill you. One study showed the heads of snakes shot and decapitated could still make a striking type motion for up to 60 minutes. Satan is dead, but he still has a bite that kills. Number six, Revelation 9:11 tells us one of Satan's name in Hebrew is Abaddon, in the Greek Apollyon, and it means destroyer. One of his primary targets for destruction throughout time has been Israel and the Jewish people. He has tried every trick in the book to take out the Jewish people. But greater is he who takes care of the Jewish people than he who is trying to destroy the Jewish people. Amen. We know that God is protecting them. God is preserving them. And God is preserving you too. He's preserving his church until such time as he's ready to take us home. Are you ready to go? War, destruction, death, anarchy are high on Satan's target list. He desires to destroy your home, your life, your reputation, and this and other Bible-believing churches. Beware. Number seven, Matthew 12:24 calls him Beelzebub, Lord of the garbage heap, Lord of the garbage. He rules a mountain of wrecked and wasted lives. How do we get our head around people, the thousands of people who in this one year have allowed themselves to get taken over by drugs and allowed themselves death? How many people are still dying of cigarettes? He wants to destroy people. He wants to destroy lives. He has a mountain of wrecked and wasted lives. People who had so much potential. And yet, he infiltrated them. He insinuated his mindset into them. People you know and love, and you say, why did they ever let that happen to themselves? Wasted. He's about that business. Number eight, John 8:44 labels him a liar and a murderer. A liar and a murderer. His lies have murdered countless millions through history in the name of religion, ethnicity, patriotism, idealism, communism, Nazism, and a dozen other ISMs. His lies have killed adults in their homes and workplace, school kids in their classrooms, and babies in the womb. The best protection about Satan's lies is to know God's truth. Consequently, one of Satan's highest priorities is to make man believe that we can live without God. If he convinces you or your family members that you can live without God, he's got you. Or if he convinces people that you can't believe this book, you can't believe this book, that's what Satan will tell you. People will say this book is a myth, it's filled with lies, it's filled with contradiction, it's filled with mistakes, and I like to say to them over and over again, show me one. And what happens? They can't. Why? Because all they're doing is repeating what somebody else told them. The Bible is full of errors. The Bible is full of contradictions. You can't trust it. It's filled with fables. I'd like to see some of these fables you're talking about. Some of these lies you're talking about. Some of these mistakes, errors, contradictions. Number nine, 1 Peter 5:8 calls him our adversary. He is the enemy. He is the face of evil. When you see some of the horrific things that take, how could you explain the Holocaust? How could you explain what Stalin did in some place in the neighborhood of 50 million Russians were killed by Stalin? Can you get your arms around that? Can you get your arms around about what they've done in China to the people throughout the various revolutions? You can't get your head around it. When you see somebody who rapes an elderly person, who molests a child, can you get your head around that? And when you can't get your head around that and you ask yourself, why do these things happen? Why such evil? You're staring into the face of the author of all that is evil and all that is sin. Amen. Number 10, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. He is the diabolical mastermind backing up a world system, a system that deceives and ensnares the lives and minds of millions of people. Satan promises the best, but he pays the worst. He promises honor, but he pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. He's a liar. Out to deceive you, out to deceive me, out to get us off target of believing God's word, preaching the gospel, having compassion and love for all people, embracing the cause of Jesus Christ, being able to stand up in our business life as Christians and not be ashamed. He's trying to silence us. He's trying to keep us down, but we will not stay down. The truth is God's truth, and it cannot change. That's how he manipulates people's behavior, their worldview, their thinking, and their opinion. He's tricky. He's hiding behind the veil of religion, intellectualism, education, art, poetry, social media, entertainment, government, mass media, and human institutions. Modern thought rejects the antiquated idea that Satan is the origin of all evil. We're too smart for that now. We're too sophisticated to believe that now. We're looking for all kinds of explanations for why there is evil. It's poverty. It's guns. It's racial and gender inequality. It's climate change. It's politics. It's government. It's politicians. But we won't put Satan into the mix. Leave him out of the equation. You leave him out of the equation and you've missed the whole thing. As such, we remain vulnerable and ill-equipped to fight the true source of evil. If you don't know who your enemy is, there's no way that you can confront that enemy to defend yourself or to fight back. The evil god of this world will one day be judged in his fiery demise, but for now we must fight back. The text that we read, Ephesians 6:13-17, lists the offensive spiritual weapons at our disposal to fight the ultimate spiritual foe, truth. If he's the author and father of all lies, we can only fight back against that with truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. Righteous living. We are counterculture. It seems that if we're going to follow God's word, that our lives are going to run upstream in the culture that's going downstream into an abyss of immorality, a black hole where there is no right and there is no wrong. There's no up and there's no down. Everything is upside down. Unless you are anchored in some absolute truth, God's word, everything goes. And we're seeing everything goes. Peace. No matter what Satan throws at us, we can still have God's peace. And our peace is an offensive weapon. When others are in chaos and have no idea about what's going on, it's the peace that we have through the knowledge of God's word that gives us the courage to keep on keeping on. Faith. People say, have faith. And they leave it at that. Well, what are they talking about? Faith in a rabbit's foot? Faith in what? The Bible says, have faith in God. And finally, the Bible. We have God's word, and we know that it's true. And then there's one other. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you stand, as you see the day approaching. If these are consequential days, if these are days where evil is raising its head more than any other time in your life, What are you going to do about it? How are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to fight back? Do you think you're going to fight back alone? This war is not a war for a lone soldier. This is a war we must all fight, and we must fight together. This is a war where we need to become knowledgeable of God's word. This is a war where we need to come together like this as often as we can in the course of a week to encourage one another, to support one another, to pray for one another, to lift up one another, to have an exchange of understanding about Scripture, to get deeper in God's word. I will encourage you. There's no other way for you to defend yourself against the source of evil except to grow in your faith in Christ Jesus and to trust His word. Don't give up. Don't be intimidated. Don't let the evil one overcome. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we've come this far by faith in Christ Jesus. And we pray that you would help us in our journey. We know that there is evil in the world, and we don't have to be mind-boggled about it. We don't have to be confused about it. We know who's behind it. We know how to defeat him in our own life. And we know, Lord, what it is that we need to do to encourage one another in this dangerous time. You said in the last days, perilous times would come, and that's dangerous times would come. And so we're living it. Help us, Lord, to live it and not fall. Help us to live it, Lord, and not fail. Help us to live it, Lord, and lift up others who are weaker than we are to strengthen, encourage, and come alongside and support them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.